Let's begin today from the book of Luke chapter 24. We are still dealing with faith basics, that is the fundamental things about Christianity that we are supposed to know. The book of Luke chapter 24, that's where I'm going to start reading. I'm titling my message today, well, I don't always have titles today, I have one. Witnesses and Preachers. What did I call it? I can't hear you. Thank you. That's what I want to talk about. The book of Luke chapter 24, that's where we'll read the first one from. Just the charge that Jesus gave the disciples after his resurrection. I'll start from verse 44. Now, Jesus says something to them that, these are my words, that is the things that you have experienced, are the words I spoke to you beforehand. He said, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He now said, verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. That's where I'm going here, really. He said, you are witnesses of these things. Let's just read the next few verses. He said, or the next one, verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city, that is Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. Let's just stop that one there. Quickly open to the book of Matthew. Let me just read one more from the book of Matthew and then. Please notice that Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. That's one word you will see in the Bible again and again, witnesses. I will try, first of all, I'll explain the meaning of the word witnesses. Let's open to Matthew chapter 28. I want to start from verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Notice the word. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please, just pardon me. One more I would like to read. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Now, there are different things that, or different accounts of the things that Jesus said to them at the end. We're going to read from verse 6. And when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And as Jesus said to them in verse 7, it is not for you to know times or seasons or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. In verse 8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's the word I'm coming to again. My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. All right. Now, these are the few verses I wanted to start today with. I will be speaking, like I said earlier today, about what I called witnesses and preachers. You know, we have been talking about our faith basics. Let's get these things right. What are the fundamentals of Christianity? There was something that Jesus said. He said that my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light. And I said to us before, and this is a matter of fact, that Christianity is not difficult. I don't mean that the people observing from outside will not think it is difficult, all right? But to the person participating in it, it's not a difficult thing. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light. That's a matter of fact. When John the Baptist was in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey, he wasn't feeling bad. I hope you understand my point. He wasn't feeling bad at all. You know, this afternoon I was watching on National Geographic. They were describing how Rolls Royces are made, and they were going into all of the details. Ah, in fact, I was impressed why the car is so silent. You see the different kind of soundproofing they put inside the car to insulate the car from road noise, engine noise, all kinds of noises. And the way they tested that the car must not creak, all those kind of things. As they were doing everything, in my mind I said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. And it's like chasing after the wind. There are people that won't think of any other thing but that Rolls Royce. When they finished, I was very impressed, but I told myself, vanity upon what? vanity. As a matter of fact, Rolls Royce is what? Vanity. And listen, why did I talk about that? The man in the Rolls Royce has listened to me. In reality, he's no more comfortable than John the Baptist in the wilderness. That's where I'm going to. John the Baptist would do feel better inside that Rolls Royce as that more than he was feeling inside the wilderness. I'm not saying Rolls Royce is bad, though, all right? But it's still vanity. It's still vanity. Solomon used things, very the best things in his time. And he said, it's what? It is vanity. So you can never, look, listen, me say, Pastor Banky, hey, no, Rolls Royce is different. So Solomon no enter Rolls Royce. So you can never prove the word of God wrong. When you step into it after 3 days, you will ask yourself, why was I laboring for this? Say, why do you spend your energy for that which is not bread? All right? That which does not satisfy. Now, please get what I'm saying. So, you see, the person going through it doesn't understand the difference. That's what I'm trying to explain. So, Christianity, even though you see a man looks like if he's deprived, if really he's walking, listen to me, he's walking, if really, listen, if really, really, he's walking according to the faith of Christ Jesus, it is not a difficult thing. Do you understand? If you see anybody lamenting, people like people to feel sorry for them. Just know the person is not walking according to the faith of Christ. He's talking about how much he's suffering for Christ and all of that. Every day he's whining and whining and whining. He's not walking according to the faith of Christ Jesus. Please, you know, there's something wisdom said. He said, my ways are simple to them that understand. The problem is that people oftentimes are doing things that they think are pleasing to God. Meanwhile, they are doing what they think is pleasing to God. There was something, one joke I read many years ago about two people from different religions. One of them a Jew, one of them a Christian, I think. He said the Christian looked at the Jew after they had argued and argued. They said, look, why are we arguing? After all, we are brethren. I mean, you are serving God your own way. I'm serving God his own way. You didn't catch the joke. The man said, you are serving God your own way. I'm serving God his own way. That is, I mean, that was a joke. What I'm trying to say is that a lot of times people are serving God their own way, and they are not serving God his own way, and the right things are difficult, and they think that that is Christianity. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Is light. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying Christians don't do stuff. I didn't say that. What I'm just saying is that what happens is that what they are doing to them is not a hard thing. Jesus went to the cross. Before he stepped in, they looked like it was difficult. But when he understood because he understood the ways of God, he went into the garden and prayed until the cross became easy. Do you follow my point? And we've discussed that one before. We're not going to buy it again. So why did I go into all of that again? I'm trying to bring out the issue of the ways of God. If we follow the ways of God, we'll discover that Christianity is actually a light burden, that like Jesus said. Today I'm talking about, like I said, preachers and what? Witnesses, witnesses and preachers. How do we preach the gospel? Do you understand? Now, you know, there are different ways that people have endeavored to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, I read all of these things, these scriptures we read, to bring us a number of issues. One, you will see Jesus use the word, you will be my witnesses, all right? Then you say, go into all the world and make disciples. Or some Bible say, preach the gospel. You make disciples, all right? Now, I want to explain two things this morning and this evening. One, the issue of witnesses and the issue of what? Preaching. Now, it's very important because when we don't get it right, there are people that harass people trying to get them into the kingdom of God. Listen, I tell you something I've said it a number of times. The way Jesus will preach those days, the way John the Baptist will preach, the way the disciples preached at the beginning, listen, they were not really begging and trying to beg somebody so somebody will feel sorry for them and say, okay, since you are going to wear me out with your much preaching, let me believe now so that you won't finish, you won't disturb me. Are you getting my point? No. People will come to John the Baptist and John will look and say, who begged you to come? Say, ooh, they have come. Okay, I'm not baptizing today. Come back tomorrow. Now, you understand my point? Amen. You brood of vipers. Who begged you to come? Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. People will come to Jesus Christ and his disciples say, what must we do to be saved? Peter finished preaching. People say, please, what must we do that we may be delivered from the judgment that is about to come? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, you cannot, maybe I should start from that. You cannot use your sense. Sometimes I see, and it's not bad, all right? It's not really totally wrong. I watch on TV sometimes people trying to train people on how to preach the gospel. You know, they say, okay, then you tell the story. Like, when it reaches this point, by this time, the person will be getting curious. It's a lie. Some people will never, they are getting irritated by the time you get to that point. They're not getting curious. All right? It's good to help young believers to teach some of these things, all right? I'm not saying that they're totally bad, but I think we should get the correct things properly in our hearts. Listen, John says something which is very important. Quickly open to the book of John chapter 1. In fact, it's one of the most important ones I should read today. How do we preach the gospel? We'll see the proper order of Christ Jesus. Like Ed Cole said, I quote him all the time, he said, balance is the key to life. People often just take one end. They are preachers, but they are not witnesses. So I want to explain both things. There's a difference between being a preacher and being what? A witness. All right? Now, though both of them are linked, but they are different. Who is a witness? This is what John said. This is what a witness is. The book of John, from that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, what was from the beginning? What we have heard. Now, notice this. What we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled, we use our senses and contacted it. That's what he was saying. Concerning the word of life. Now, he now described that life in verse 2. Then in verse 3, continue what he was saying. He said, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Please, let me just read verse 2. I jumped it because I wanted us to get a sense in what it was saying. It was describing that word of life. He said that life was manifested and we have seen and we bear what? Witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He said we heard about it, we saw with our eyes, we beheld and our hands handled matters that had to do with the word of life. Listen to me. That was what made us witnesses. Listen, Jesus said something at the beginning, the first one we read, that Luke chapter 24. He said, you are witnesses of these things. Who is a witness? Listen, when you go to court and they call a witness, a witness is not the person who came to court. That's not what makes the person a witness primarily. What makes somebody a witness is the fact that he witnessed the event. Are you getting my point? Now, come to court to testify. Alright? So we say he's a witness. But what really makes him a witness, alright, is not that he came to court to testify, but that he witnessed what he's about to testify concerning. You know, there's one mistake we make a lot as Christians. We all try to be Reinhold Bonnke. I'll talk about it as we go on. One of the major ways by which you preach the gospel and show yourself as a witness for Christ Jesus is in the area of your gift and your calling. Are you getting my point? John says something here. I am not declaring to you that which I do not know. Do you follow my point? It's good to have methods to make your point clear, but most importantly, you must have a point. I don't know whether I hear what I said. If you know, people talk about how to make presentations, very few of them explain that you must know what you are talking about. The color of your PowerPoint preparation, how you stand, where you balance your microphone, when you move your hand, how to connect with the audience. Anytime I hear them, I say, please, you have not yet explained that this person must know what he's talking about. You know, my wife is an accountant, you know, by training. Those days when she was in the earlier stages of her ICANN exams. One day, somebody gave her a tape to prepare for an exam. And she was playing the tape and I was there, I was listening. After a while, I said to her, this man does not know what he's talking about. Now, listen to me. I'm not an accountant. Are you getting my point? I still remember the man's voice. You divide that by the total cost. That's total cost, all right? And he was talking about total cost and this one cost. I said, okay, this man. Now, this was a tape. I said, this man does not know what he's talking about. Later on, she told her friend who gave her the tape. And that one laughed. She laughed because, as a matter of fact, those in the classes that the man would teach had concluded that the man doesn't know what he's talking about. He made a tape, read out his notes, did everything, so the tapes were circulating. I heard it once. I mean, she was just playing nearby. I was not listening to it. I'm not taking that kind of exam, all right? I mean, I'm not an accountant. I wasn't trying to learn management accounting, whatever it is that he was teaching, or cost accounting, or financial accounting. Or accounting, one of those things. Yeah. But I heard a man once, I said, this man does not know what he's talking about. How did I know? Just by hearing him. He wasn't passing out any spirit. Do you understand? He was not making things clear. I don't know how to explain it further. I just heard the man. I said, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I had nothing to say about his method of presentation. The point was that it was clear that the thing was not coming out of his belly. Are you getting my point? He just read it somewhere, made notes, and is now reciting the notes. The fact is that the thing has not become a part of him. What marks a good teacher? My experience in life has shown me that. It's not the man who just knows how to explain. That is less than a quarter of what makes a man a good teacher. It's a man who understands what he's saying. We make the mistake. We say, this man knows how to teach. I have found out that the gift of teaching is not in passing it across. The gift of teaching is really in understanding the matter. A man who doesn't have understanding cannot pass the matter across to you. So you say he's a bad teacher. The truth is that he does not understand. Now listen, there's a gift of teaching, I know. But I'm saying fundamental, before you start talking about the gift, is whether the man really knows what he's talking about. What am I saying? A lot of people want to preach and preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. Don't even know that gospel. Therefore, they make a mess of it. That's what I'm talking about. They hear Raymond Bonnke tell a story about soap and dirty people on the earth. Then they memorize it. Next time you enter a bus, good morning everybody. I hope you know there's plenty of soap in this world and many people are still dead. That's why I'm telling you today, you must believe in Christ Jesus. And everybody's confused. What has the soap got to do with faith in Christ Jesus? But when you heard it, that's the problem. When you heard it from the mouth of Reinhold Bonnke, it made sense. The man was speaking that which his hands had handled. I hope you're following what I say. A lot of people, look, I say it all the time. He said, how do I work for God? I said, you don't need to. You need to know God first. Then working for him will come out of you naturally. Who is a witness? A witness is somebody who has an experience. That's what a witness is. That is, if you have not been working with God, you can't preach for him. It's not possible. You're going to be talking about somebody you don't know, you don't understand. A witness is not the person who knows how to preach. A witness is the person who knows what he's talking about. And Jesus, when he came to his disciples in that Luke chapter 24 that we read, he told them, you see, look at these are the things I told you earlier on. You have seen them happen. This is how it happened. He said, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. That is, I'm not just sending you to go and preach. First, I gave you an experience. You were there when these things happened. I told you first of all they would happen. Then they happened. You saw everything happen exactly the way I said they would happen. Exactly the way Moses said they would happen. Exactly the way the prophets and David said they would happen. He said, now you are witnesses. That's why it was not hard for Peter to preach. It wasn't. It wasn't. Yes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon them to give them boldness. That's a matter of fact. But basically, when the men were speaking, they knew what they were talking about. You couldn't persuade him that Jesus is not the Messiah. What did he not see? He was there when Lazarus woke up from the dead. He was there when the man whistled small, a whole tree died. Just look tree. I can shake it. That was the end of the tree. He was there. He was there when the man said, come. And he stepped out on water and began to walk on water. And he saw the man in front of him. You couldn't tell him he's not the son of God. What are you talking about? You have to give him another explanation for how a man will walk on water. How a man will feed 5,000 people with food that was just enough for one or two people. You had to give Peter another explanation. And this is the point. Listen, God doesn't want you to start persuading people. Preaching is not trying to persuade people with arguments. Preaching is just state what you know and walk away. The rest is called the work of the Spirit of God. That's why Paul said in that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Quickly open to that. Well, let me just read it to you. So let me not waste your time opening to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of God, but on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now listen, when he said like that, later when I began to explain that we actually have deep wisdom to speak, but that's not what we used to preach to people. When we come, we just state things the way they are, simply, straightforward, not trying to sound sharp. The problem with people is that we cram messages that other people preached. Are you getting my point? And we are not witnesses of those things. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. What am I saying? You cannot preach effectively to anybody until you have a personal experience of what you're talking about. They said that, look, what if you die tonight? You have not won any soul to the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't win the soul to the Lord. All right? But that guilt, that guilty conscience, all right, is not going to make you convert anybody. Yes, it won't. Let me tell you how preaching is. It's not a duty. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It's a matter of... Okay, let me put it, let me explain it like this. It's a matter of compassion and understanding. Now, let me explain. You watch TV, you see, very common from America. Nigerians are learning now also. Good things, all right? Yeah, NGOs, they'll get up and say that want to eradicate, let's say, okay, malaria. You see Bill Gates, I see him on TV. I've seen it a few times, and he's talking about it. He's passionate about what he's talking about. They'll be giving you statistics. These are the figures. The number of children that die in a year from malaria. These are the things we can do. This is how we can do them. And they go around doing those things because they believe very strongly they work. Nobody commanded, thou shall eradicate malaria in your lifetime. He has no commandment like that he's obeying. Are you following my point? Men will settle down and say, look, this is the problem in the society. They start organizing, contributing money, believing that they can solve them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's how the gospel is. The men who preach the gospel are persuaded that it is the solution to the problems of the people they are preaching to. Those are the only people that have effect and have power with their preaching. Do you follow my point? As long as you think it's a matter of duty. I mean, I hope I don't sound too critical sometimes. Sometimes I told you the story before. The house I used to live in, one guy used to drive his car to park somewhere near the front of my house and put on one ugly speaker. Cracking, croaky speaker. Start around 4:30 in the morning. And start preaching a message which, again, sorry, I feel he's not persuaded about. Listen, a lot of times we Christians constitute ourselves into a nuisance. And you know why we do that? We don't love the people we are dealing with. We are trying to satisfy a commandment that we must preach. So the issue that whether you like or not is your problem. If you like, don't believe. Now you go hell, no be me. I will show to God that 4:30 a.m. I came to your streets for 1 week. You did not believe. Now you got to go punish you. No be me. I have done my portion. White garment churches, spiritually, they do that. It's part of the prescription for healing people's problems. They say you will go for what they call proclamation. For all this your sin, for all this your troubles, all your sicknesses, all your financial disturbances, everything. You will do 4 days proclamation. So you see, it's very good. It's very good for people. He humbles them very well. See a rich man, they'll give him a bell. Hey, you guys in Eastern Nigeria, none they see that kind of thing. Come West, they're there. You give a man a bell. He wake up around 4 a.m. He starts trekking, barefoot. Repent, again, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, again. God says, if you don't repent, you're in trouble. He's coming to get you. Watch out. Repent, and he goes around for like an hour or two, does that for a number of days. He's not preaching. He's trying to solve his own problems. So you look, and I still remember one man I saw. I was wearing red. Had a bell in his hand. And he was singing, Abore o Jesu, Abore o Jesu, Mojise to Rami. Olayinka. What does it mean? He said, ah, so I don't return. Jesus Christ, I don't deliver the message. That's literally what it means. I don't give a hoot. My name is Jonah. Kill them if you want. Let's say fish chops a man. We better tell them ahead of time. If we don't tell now, we'll get swallowed. Now, please, are you following what I'm saying? But that's not the preaching of the gospel of Christ, no. The man that preaches actually believes. He will look at you and say, oh boy, the way you are walking won't favor you. Your sins will eventually find you out. Jesus said, they came and told Jesus something that happened. He said, do you think those men that Pilate mixed their blood with their sacrifices, you think they are the worst of sinners? He said, well, let me tell you, except you repent, you will likewise perish. He saw a man that had been the man that had been invalid for 38 years. Prayed for the man became well. Then he looked for the man again and said, listen, let me tell you now. Stop sinning. Otherwise, something more terrible will come upon you. He wasn't trying to preach. He just realized that if I don't tell this man, he's going to become invalid for another 75 years. Are you getting what I'm saying? Who is a witness? A witness is a man who knows what he's talking about, who has experienced what he's talking about. That's one side to it. Let me tell you another side about being a witness, which is part of experiencing something. This is how God works. Let me explain this very clearly to us again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a matter, it's not outward, it's first of all inward. Are you getting my point? What he does is that before he sends you out, you must first be with him. There's something I keep on saying to Christians. This is what God is trying to do in our lives. He wants to turn us to this kind of person. Alright? To such a person that if he were not around, let's assume God takes leave once in a while. You understand what I mean? Like, assuming he does. Alright? He doesn't, but let's assume he does. Alright? So he tells, I'm going on my 2010 leave. And then he puts you on the seat. To occupy that seat till he comes back. God doesn't want to give you a list of instructions concerning what to do. He wants you to know what to do because you have become like him. Are you getting what I'm saying? I like to say that again and again. What God is really going for is that he wants you to become exactly like him. Jesus said, concerning Jesus, it was spoken that it was the exact representation of his nature. That is, Philip said, show us the Father. He said, what more do you want to know about the Father that you have not seen in me? I hope you get what I'm saying. I'm coming to something, all of these things. So the man who wants to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus, his goal should not be to preach the gospel, but his goal should be first to become exactly like God is. Are you getting my point? So that when I automatically utter the words of God. And listen, there was a time that Acts chapter 4, when Peter and Co. finished talking and everything, they said, how come these guys are as bold as this? Then they reasoned that they had been with Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, one of the epidemics we have in the body of Christ in Nigeria today, a lot of so-called pastors, because they are promoted, all right, are actually crooked. And the people know they are crooked. You can preach from now till thy kingdom come. They will never believe you. Because the message is not real. You are not a witness. You have not become anything that they should emulate. A friend of mine talks to me once in a while. His boss in the office is a pastor in a church that is only the Holy Spirit that held my mouth, and I almost told you. But it's a church you know very well. He said, there is no woman that he can, that he doesn't sleep with. Unless he can't. That is, she did not agree. I know his name, Pastor. And on Sunday, grab the microphone, let us raise our hands and begin to worship the Lord. A miracle is about to happen in your life today. And the co-workers are looking at him. Hey, now wow. If this one is Pastor, I'm a poop. Hey. Let me tell you a story somebody told me some time ago. One man, a bad boy on campus, one day he came to fellowship. His friend dragged him to fellowship. Follow me to fellowship. Then that day, when they finished preaching, say, who wants to give his life to Christ? He put up his hand and he went forward. What did they preach to persuade? He said, I did not hear anything. I was not listening to the message. What happened is that this University of Lagos, he went to, when they were, I think in the first year, there was an exam sometime before that.